service.
Hey guys, this is Jake, and I want to tell you about a brand new podcast from my company Double Elvis in collaboration with Volume.com called The Singer's Talk. This show is based on the book of the same name written by Jason Thomas Gordon, the singer and drummer for the LA rock band King Size. And just like the book, The Singer Talk podcast features in-depth, illuminating conversations with some of the most iconic singers of all time, discussing the one thing they're never asked about, their voices. So whether you're a singer or a music fan, you're going to get a wild inside look at how your favorite vocalists approach singing live and in the studio. This is a fascinating podcast. These are raw, intimate conversations with incredible artists like Thom Yorke, Norah Jones, Roger Daltrey, Geddy Lee, and so many more. Also, interviews with bandmates and producers of singers that are no longer with us, like Prince, Janis Joplin, Chris Cornell, and Nina Simone. That's The Singer's Talk. You can search for it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you know the drill, wherever you get your podcasts. Give it a follow or check it out on volume.com/The Singer's Talk. Disgraceland is brought to you by Disgraceland All Access. Disgraceland All Access membership is your chance to support the show and get ad-free listening, an exclusive scripted episode every month, and exclusive bonus content every week, plus access to an always-on chat with me and your fellow discos. Visit disgracelandpod.com/membership and sign up today. Hey, discos, you can listen to an extended version of this After Party episode by becoming a member of Disgraceland All Access. Just go to disgracelandpod.com/membership for more details and to sign up. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Disgraceland, which is brought to you by Double Elvis. This week, we have a part two of our Peter Tosh story in the Disgraceland feed. And don't forget about that exclusive Hunter S. Thompson episode that's available to our All Access members in our Patreon and Apple subscription feeds. You can go get that now. All you got to do is sign up. Another reminder to all the parents out there, we have a brand new episode of our new season of Musicland Stories, Season 2, set this time not in space, but in the ocean. That's our fiction show for kids and families, and that's available for you right now as well. And finally, over in Shred with Shifty, that's our show hosted by Chris Shiflett of the Foo Fighters. He's got a brand new episode talking to guitar slinger Joe Bonamassa. All right, let's do this. Hey, discos. Need a little more Disgraceland in your life? Just a touch to get you through? Yeah, me too. This is the podcast that comes after the podcast. Welcome to Disgraceland, the After Party. Welcome to the Disgraceland bonus episode, a little thing we like to call the After Party. This is the show after the show, the party after the party, the bridge to get you from one full episode of Disgraceland to the other, the backyard to dig into the dirt. On this episode, we are talking about the conclusion of our two-part Peter Tosh story with part two in your Disgraceland feeds right now, conspiracy theories, some of them involving Peter Tosh's assassination, and of course, your voicemails, texts, DMs, and more, and as always, a whole lot of Rosie. All right, discos, let's get into it. All right, conspiracy theories, they're a tough hang for me. They are a useless wormhole, in my opinion. On the one hand, I don't really believe it actually in conspiracy theories. Let me explain. In the world out there, of course, on the internet and elsewhere, there are, of course, conspiracy theories. I acknowledge that they do exist. I believe that those are a thing. Yes, of course I do. But what I don't believe in, most of the time anyways, is that these secret cabals, these powerful elements of society, the Illuminati or whatever, I don't believe that they band together in secret to come up with some sort of master plan to pull off that results in people being killed or subjugated or whatever. What I do believe happens more often than not is that powerful forces are unleashed for whatever reason, but usually by happenstance, sometimes by willful ignorance, and very rarely in conjunction with one another. And these forces affect this super dramatic result. Sure, I will admit that. So in retrospect, after, say, I don't know, the president of the United States gets shot in Dallas in 1963, or Jeffrey Epstein kills himself in his jail cell or whatever, it's easy for armchair internet sleuths, modern day tinfoil hat wearers, to piece together these grand narratives to help explain what can be seen as either a super complex storyline that is highly compelling, in the case of the JFK assassination, or a super obvious explanation, as is the case with Jeffrey Epstein's death. The conspiracy theory is just the way to explain the unexplainable. Does that make sense? It makes sense to me anyways. The theory behind the conspiracy is not the motivating factor. You know what I'm saying? The CIA did not hold meetings with the mafia and Lyndon Baines Johnson to plot out how to murder John F. Kennedy. Bill Clinton did not Venmo Prince Andrew $5,000 to hire a convict to make Jeffrey Epstein's murder look like a suicide. No, what happened was JFK was a handsome, spoiled rich kid who was used to getting whatever the hell he wanted and making his way through the world on his rich daddy's dime and his own considerable charm and in an extreme act of hubris, despite however well-meaning it might have been. He managed to betray and threaten the existence of two of the most powerful institutions in the world at the same time, the CIA and the mafia. No conspiracy was needed. The writing was plain as day, and it was right there on the wall. El Prez had to go. And in the case of Epstein, the reason behind his death barely requires any further discussion, so I'm not even going to touch it, but to say just that there was no conspiracy. It was just decided. He had to go. And if it wasn't put into motion by one powerful player who Epstein had compromising info on, it eventually would have been put into motion by another. Again, Bill, Hillary, Jay-Z, Danny DeVito, Carrot Top, whoever the fuck else was on Epstein's list, did not hold conspiratorial meetings to determine how to kill the man. It was just gonna happen. He knew too much about too many people. Someone was eventually going to step up, and they did, and no one in power is interested in the truth ever coming out, so it won't. On the other hand, the world is flat. Cocaine is a wonder drug. The G-spot is real. LeBron James is the greatest basketball player of all time. If you disagreed with any of these things at one point or another throughout the course of our shared history, then you were considered a conspiracy theorist. So what the fuck do I know? Well, I do know how Peter Tosh died. He was murdered by some shitheel ex-con who had it out for him for reasons you'll have to listen to in the recent episode of Disgraceland. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll be back on the other side to discuss some of the sources that helped us tell this story of Peter Tosh's death. Okay, listen, if you're one of the few people out there who's new to podcasts, new to Disgraceland, new to true crime, if you have not already listened to the wildly popular and hysterically funny and informative podcast, My Favorite Murder, hosted by my friends Karen Kilgariff and Georgia Hardstark on the Exactly Right Network, then what are you waiting for? You got to check out My Favorite Murder. In each episode, they're going to tell you stories about infamous serial killers, cold cases, incredible survivor stories. And listen, these guys are wildly popular for a reason. They have an incredible chemistry. They're hysterical. They're smart as all get up. And you're instantly going to feel like they're long lost friends. They've got great new episodes on the subjects I've already mentioned, but they've got this whole treasure trove of back episodes, including well-known stories from true crime and music history, like the deaths of Sid Vicious and Nancy Spungen, the murder of pop singer Selena, and now the infamous story of the Cocaine Bear. I've known Karen and Georgia since the beginning of my sort of foray into podcasting. They've been heroes of mine. I was on their podcast in March of 2022 to share my hometown story about a prison break party that I attended in high school. And they told me it was one of their most popular episodes. So you can check that out as well. Listen to My Favorite Murder wherever you listen to podcasts. Brand new episodes drop every Thursday. Hey, discos, it's Jake here. Thank you so much for listening to Disgraceland. Your support truly means a lot to me, and it's because of you that my team and I are able to make this show. If you want more Disgraceland, if you want more regular interactions with me and the community of Disgraceland listeners, or if you simply want to listen to the show ad-free, go to disgracelandpod.com/membership. For just $5 a month, you can listen to every episode of Disgraceland ad-free. Plus, you'll get one brand new exclusive episode every month. You'll also get weekly unscripted bonus content, special audio collections, and early access to merch and events. There are two ways that you can support the show and become a member at disgracelandpod.com/membership. You can sign up using Patreon and listen to the show ad-free on Apple, Spotify, and most other major podcast platforms. And Patreon members also get access to all the other perks of membership and an always-on chat where I'll be interacting with you and diving deeper into the world of Disgraceland. But Maybe you're currently an Apple Podcast subscription listener and you want to just tap into all the bonus audio content and ad-free listening that we're offering. We're also offering this membership as a premium channel on Apple Podcasts. However you choose to join, all you got to do is go to disgracelandpod.com/membership. Support the show for just $5 a month, $5, or sign up for an annual plan and get 2 months free. Come join me and your fellow discos at Disgraceland All Access by visiting disgracelandpod.com/membership. Hey, discos, jumping in here quickly to tell you about a new giveaway that we put together especially for Disgraceland fans. Listen to this. We teamed up with our friends at Tivoli Audio and D'Angelico Guitar, two legendary brands in audio, to award one of you a prize pack that includes the all-new Tivoli Audio songbook paired with a limited edition D'Angelico electric guitar. The songbook is an incredible vintage-inspired sound system, and you can plug your D'Angelico guitar right into it. It's also got an analog EQ and a 10-hour rechargeable battery so you can take your music and your favorite podcast anywhere. Go to disgracelandcontest.com to see the prize pack and drop your email address to enter for free. Must be a U.S. resident to win. Visit disgracelandcontest.com for full details. That's disgracelandcontest.com. Rock a rolla. All right, we talked a little about the sources that we used for the first Peter Tosh episode and last week's After Party. I'm not going to rehash those here, but I did want to talk about some really interesting stuff that we dug up that didn't exactly make it into the episode. In a way, it did, but not really in a deep dive kind of way. One of the other books that we used that I haven't mentioned yet was This Is Reggae, The Story of Jamaican Music by Lloyd Bradley, which came in really handy, not so much about Peter Tosh himself, but about the world of reggae music and Jamaican culture and all that. There's a lot of violence in these episodes, these two Peter Tosh episodes that we did, because there's just a lot of violence going on in that world in general. It's like if Martin Scorsese made a movie about the music industry, okay? Political violence, class violence. The music scene in Jamaica at the time was corrupt, but the music side of it was healthy. There was these huge sound systems, which I touched upon briefly in this episode. These trucks or wagons, whatever you want to call them, outfitted with big, huge speakers and amplifiers that made the music portable and omnipresent. These systems traveled all over the island, these sound systems. They parked on a street corner. They were spinning the best vinyl for people, the latest singles that were coming out of Jamaica, the latest American and British releases as well, old favorites. It was fucking great. That sounds amazing to me. Just like in America or Britain, though, nothing new, as all this music is being played over and over again all over the place. The ones making all the money were the record companies and the studio owners. Crime bosses went hand in hand during this time with the studios, with the record companies. Loan sharks making high interest loans that went unpaid. It led to some really brutal consequences if you didn't pay up. And then there's the music royalties, which are supposed to be paid out to the artist, but of course they're not. So that in turn leads to the studios and the cars getting torched as payback. A lot of violence, a lot of drama, very interesting. So if you want any of that, go to This Is Reggae, The Story of Jamaican Music by Lloyd Bradley. You're going to get a lot of it. And if you're a Jamaican musician back in the day at Peter Tosh, someone like Peter Tosh, if you're going to rock the boat too much, you're going to get a target on your back. Peter Tosh, as you heard in this episode, did a lot of rocking the boat, including, you know, it's funny, in the Bob Marley episode, we talk about Bob Marley, strong-arming DJs. Peter Tosh has tried to buy the fucking radio station, okay? It wasn't so much to get his music out as it was his message. And, you know, the theory, the conspiracy theory, I hate that word, was that there was a target on his back because of it. And we're forced to ask, because of all this, because it's out there, it's in the ether, it's very much part of this story, we're forced to ask, why was Peter Tosh murdered? Shot and killed by a criminal. Of course, we talked about this, someone he had pissed off. We talked about the reason why. But that answer is not good enough for most people. Most people think there is more. I did this little Peter Tosh story on part of these episodes where he takes over Keith Richards' home and Keith comes to kick him out. And I did this in like 90 seconds over on TikTok. And this whole thing erupts in the comments about how Peter Tosh was murdered and who murdered him and why and yada, yada, yada. For some reason, with some people, these theories just do not go away. So when we do these episodes, we are forced to reckon with them, even if we don't necessarily believe them, believe that it was a conspiracy, that is to say. So we did. We got into it. And I think we presented it in a compelling and interesting way. But I want to know what you think. Okay, this is not TikTok. This is not Instagram. I have time to get into this a little more fully and to get into your thoughts on this in a way that is perhaps a little bit more comprehensive and a little more compelling for us. I want to know what you thought about Peter Tosh and his death. Was he murdered for some other reason than just criminal revenge or wounded pride? Was it something deeper than that? Do you believe that anyways? I obviously don't. Do you think it was powerful forces that be, either from the U.S. government or working with Jamaican politicians or the Jamaican government or with the CIA? What is it? What's your theory? I want to know. Hit me up, 617-906-6638. And while we're at it, and this is not a conspiracy theory, I just believe it's the truth hiding in plain sight. Let me know what you think of the vengeance that was distributed to Bob Marley's assassins. Okay, the seven assassins, or would-be assassins, I should say, who tried to kill Bob Marley, as we discuss in the Bob Marley episode of Disgraceland, which is akin, of course, and in conversation with the Peter Tosh episode, we discuss how all seven of those assassins winded up dying violent, brutally violent deaths. One was fucking buried alive, okay? Before we get to those deaths, we talk about Bob Marley and the violence that is part of his history. I alluded to it earlier when I talked about Bob Marley strong-arming that DJ, but of course, there's another story about Bob Marley finding out that his manager was stealing from him, and to force a confession out of his manager, he has two of his friends, his bodyguards, hold his manager outside of a seventh-story window upside down, and then Bob himself, if you're to believe this story, holds a gun to his head. So we paint this picture, obviously, that violence was definitely part of Bob Marley's backstory. So when all of his assassins wind up dead, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Bob had something to do with it. Perhaps. What do you think? I want to know. 617-906-6638. You can send me a text, you can send me a voicemail. Just like Johnny from the 617.
Yo, what's up, Jake? It's Johnny Vinyl from the 617 here in Boston. My band, To Shelve Our Album, I would demand $5 million because I would take a lot of that $5 million, right? I would buy my way out of the contract, take the album to a different label that believes in us and would release the album, and we would pocket the change.
Johnny Vinyl, appreciate the voicemail, man. Johnny's calling in on the question of how much money would you take, or would you take, excuse me, $1 million to shelve a piece of work that you created, that you love, that you wanted to put out into the world, but the powers that be demanded that it wasn't good enough, so they would offer you $1 million not to put it out. That is, of course, from the story of INXS and their record Kick. Johnny calling in. Johnny taking a different approach, and I like it, being entrepreneurial here. You know, give me the $5 million. And, you know, I'll take what I can, million plus, two, maybe three, buy my way out of the contract, go to another label that believes in me, and release the record there. And if there's anything left over, you know, I'll put it in my pocket, buy myself some new records, maybe kick up a couple shekels to some charity or something. I don't know. Put a little extra in the basket on Sunday Mass. Maybe, Johnny, who knows? 816 writes in, hey, found you on Instagram. Love watching Disgraceland on YouTube. My new thing to binge. I'm having trouble finding your Kurt Cobain suicide episode. Years ago, I watched Soaked in Bleach and believed that both Cobain and Epstein didn't kill them. Here we go. Wanted to know your opinion. Also, I almost believed that the 60s, San Francisco and LSD would keep you busy for the next year. Thank you again for your content. 816. Okay. Let's just rewind this a bit. First of all, sounds like you're new. Sounds like you found us on Instagram in the recent past. And I thank you for that. At Disgraceland Pod, guys, if you're not following us on Instagram, head over there. As for finding us or watching us on YouTube, thank you. Those are not our podcast episodes. However, we've got a couple of them up there. You want to go to Spotify, you want to go to Apple Podcasts, you want to go to iHeart, the iHeart radio app, you want to go to Amazon Music, and you want to find us there. And that's where you will find the Kurt Cobain episode and every other episode that we've done. We have some very few episodes up on YouTube. And then we have these little sort of 20-minute stories that I put together last year that are up there as well. I'm currently figuring out, though, have no fear, how to get all the podcast episodes up onto YouTube in short order. We are working on that as we speak, all right? But that should not delay you from running to your music streaming app of choice right now and listening to Disgraceland. And if you do, and if you check out the Charles Manson episodes, the Mama Cass episodes, you will get all of your San Francisco LSD conspiracy content that you so crave. It's all there for you. I'm going to take a quick break and I'll be back for you in just a second. All right, we are back and we are approaching the end of this week's After Party. But if you, like me, don't want the After Party to end just yet, if you need more of this, more behind the scenes, more holy shit moments, more engagement voicemails, more texts, more emails, more interaction, I got you covered. You can hear more of this week's After Party by becoming a member of Disgraceland All Access. How do you do that? It's easy. Just head over to disgracelandpod.com/membership. And for just $5 a month, or even less if you sign up for an annual membership, you will get not only an extended version of this year's After Party every single week, but one exclusive, fully scripted episode of Disgraceland every month, like the All Access only episode that we just did on Hunter S. Thompson. It's waiting for you right now. It's fucking great. You're going to love it. Trust me, sign up to be an all-access member. Go to disgracelandpod.com/membership. Next month, you're going to get an episode, March, this month, you're going to get an episode on Lane Staley of Alice in Chains. We've got another one coming on Basquiat, another one on Chris Cornell. All right, a lot of great, great exclusive content coming, but you got to be a member. And if you choose to become a member on Patreon, you're also going to get this bonus, this access to an always-on chat with me and all the other all-access discos who are in the Patreon feed. I'm in the Patreon app every day, guys. I'm asking questions, not just answering them, asking them. I'm asking you guys, building playlists, getting your recommendations on who we should create episodes on next, what kind of beer I should be drinking this weekend. Come hang out with us. It's fun, I promise. Again, that's disgracelandpod.com/membership to sign up for Disgraceland All Access and get more Disgraceland in your life, including, like I said, an extended version of this year's After Party where I'm going to be talking more about the various conspiracy theories. See, I'm getting sucked in. The various conspiracy theories surrounding Peter Tosh's assassination. Specifically, one that said it was a contract hit that was put out there by some government officials behind closed doors. All clandestine-like, all right? So, if you want to get into these deeper revelations about Peter Tosh and get more of me talking with all of you, your voicemails, your texts, your DMs, your emails, disgracelandpod.com/membership gets you in on all this, all right? Hang tight, back in a flash. All right, let's recap this thing, shall we? Number one, there is more After Party to listen to right now. All you got to do is go to disgracelandpod.com/membership, sign up to become an all-access member. But if that ain't your bag, then hey, number two, right now in your feed, we got the second part of our two-part episode on Peter Tosh. Number three, coming tomorrow, a rewind episode on Michael Alec. Number four, over in the Badlands feed, we've got episodes from the archive on Sal Mineo and Danny Trejo. Number five, next week in the Disgraceland feed, a brand new episode on Steve McQueen. That's right, the man himself. Number six, my number 617906. 6638. Call me on the telephone or text me. Number seven, remember, no one cares about the music that you love more than you do, and well, that's a disgrace. All right. And now, my moment of bliss in honor of this week's episode on Peter Tosh, me reading you the Billboard Hot 100 from the week of September 5th, 1987, the week that the reggae superstar was brutally gunned down in his own home. Number one, La Bamba, Los Lobos. Last week, one. Peak position, one. Weeks on chart, 11. Number two, I Just Can't Stop Loving You, Michael Jackson. Last week, 6. Peak position, 2. Weeks on chart, 5. Number three, Who's That Girl, Madonna. Last week, 2. Peak position, 1. Weeks on chart, 9. Number four, Only in My Dreams, Debbie Gibson. Last week, 5. Peak position, 4. Weeks on chart, 9. Number two, number six, Don't Mean Nothing, Michael Jackson, Richard Marx. Last week, 6. 3. Peak position, 3. Weeks on chart, 13. Number one.
Quit talking and start mixing.
Cut!